you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode of the podcast, I'll be covering, well, two different franchises. This episode, I'm doing a review of Lost in Space, the first 10 episodes of the series so far, my thoughts on it, as well as reboot The Guardian Code after seeing the first 10 episodes of that as well. It's been kind of interesting watching these two series and getting a little bit of behind the scenes of some of the stuff going on in both series as they've progressed. I'm impressed with one. I'm kind of on the fence still, but we'll get right into it after a quick little bit of housekeeping. The next episode I will be having Dodd back on, I'm fairly sure. I didn't have him on this one, mostly because of a time crunch, and I needed to get this done ASAP. It's my kid's spring break week, so for elementary school, so I don't have the freedom of time that I would have had normally. Just got to figure out a little bit of household fixing as far as plumbing is concerned. I had to rebuild my shower plumbing pieces, essentially, because it was leaking. Been a problem for a while, but I got through it, got it figured out. So, suffice it to say, we're going to be doing some entertaining things on this episode. So, I'm going to get right down to it, into Lost in Space. Now, just to preface this show, the new Lost in Space, anyhow, When I saw that this was coming to Netflix, I was interested right away. Mostly because I grew up where my parents watched the original Lost in Space. The original Lost in Space was kind of revolutionary. It came out before Trek. It was black and white. And then I believe later went color, or they later translated it. So anyways, I watched the first 10 episodes of this. To begin with, I got the first 5, and then I think because I watched them, or maybe they just decided to unleash the other 5, I went through and watched them all. I will say that I have been very impressed with the treatment of the series, as far as how they've portrayed the new Lost in Space, the cast. It's a pretty solid piece of sci-fi, and I love this reimagining because it kind of keeps the heart of the original series and redoes it for now. So the classic one was in the 1960s. This one is set 30 years in the future of now. So colonization space is a reality. The Robinson family, among those tested and selected to make a new life for themselves in a better world. But when the new colonists find themselves abruptly torn off course en route to their new home, they must forge new alliances and work together to survive in a dangerous alien environment light years from their original destination. So it stars Toby Stevens as John Robinson, Molly Parker as Maureen Robinson, the Robinson kids, which are Taylor Russell, is the confident Judy. Mina Sunwall is the middle child Penny, and Max Jenkins is the new Will Robinson. And they're, of course, stranded along with the Robinsons are the two outsiders, finding themselves thrown together by circumstance. Is the new version of Dr. Smith, played by Parker Posey, and the inadvertently very similar looking and acting Don West, played by Ignacio Cerichio. So anyways, it's very well written. The sci-fi doesn't look cheap in it, which I'm actually quite happy about. It's not It doesn't have that Star Trek Discovery level cheap, and it doesn't have the Orville style cheap either, because they both have it in different ways. This is very much a full quality, full money in Netflix production, where it doesn't look like a CBS product or a Fox product. It looks definitely like something Netflix would put out. It's dark, but it's got a lot of light tones in it. It's very cinematic. I found that I wasn't too sure when I first started watching it, just because reboots and remakes don't really lend themselves, and usually they bomb terribly. But again, the 90s and the 80s trying to resurrect things from the 60s or 70s, it didn't really play out well for them, whereas I think now the TV scope is different, the writing's better. TV has more of that cinematic film universe writing style. So I've been very happy with how this series has turned out. The episode list consists of, like I said before, 10 episodes. They're not really titled because they just kind of go into the episodes, which is kind of nice that we don't have this. I mean, they have the intro stuff, but I mean, it's not this big extravagant thing. I love the fact that it's a 50-minute runtime instead of the 35 minutes we got on Star Trek Discovery, which is on Netflix as well. The entire series will be up on April 13th of this month, and I think that it's definitely the sci-fi family drama type of stuff that we've been lacking. It's very, very fun, very scientific in a sense, but it's very much about this core unit of this family. I think it's a very solid contender for this new revival of major sci-fi television, between, you know, like Altered Carbon and, Star Trek Discovery, The Orville. I know there's a couple other series I'm forgetting, like the one that parodied Star Trek. But I think that this fits in this particular time, and it's not too dark. It's got a lot of uplifting and bright moments that kind of keep it in that Lost in Space requirement that it had. But I love how they've kind of mixed a lot of the characteristics and a lot of the focus of the 60s with the modern day look and feel of how families work now and how the television landscape looks now, the aesthetics now. What they've done with Dr. Smith's story, kind of an interesting dilemma there. I can't go into too much more detail on it. I will just say that it's going to be an interesting way that they're portraying it. I wish I could go into more details, and I guess I will once everybody's seen it. But I do like the twist that they threw on the new on the new version of Dr. Smith here. And then, of course, we have the original actor, Bill Mumy. The original Will Robinson is going to be making a cameo in the show, although they don't state by what way that he's going to be in the series, or how he's present. Like, I didn't really notice him, you know, if he's there. I couldn't pick it out. Like, it wasn't something that I just actively noticed, because one, I'm not familiar with his current look. I don't follow him all that much. But I do know that he's supposed to have some kind of a role in the series. I'm just not sure to what degree. And then, of course, we have there's a lot of shady past to Dr. Smith in the series, and how she came to be a part of the Robinson crew, There's a nice little twist with the aspects of the planet and that they're living on during the series. Again, can't go into too much detail here. I love the fact that there's a bunch of Jupiters, not just the Jupiter 2. And there's a lot of... I expected to not see anybody else in the series for the most part once the Robinson family was on their own. But it was kind of interesting seeing how that whole dynamic played out. Because it was almost kind of like one of those sci-fi TV series that used to... beyond Fox, where they went back in time to prehistoric Earth. It kind of reminds me of that in a sense. Like it's a little bit different. The aspect of the robot, is kind of a mystery. Like as far as anything, like there's they don't really divulge. They do, but they don't, and I may have to rewatch it to get the gist of it, but they don't really divulge what the robot's doing or how it came. There's some of that's not really there. The new take and the new design of the robot, I'm a little iffy on, mostly because I'm nostalgic and I love the original robot from the 60s, which is not practical or realistic by today's standards by any means, but it's still they kept some of the thought patterns of it. They didn't make him hokey and stupid like the 97 film, which I'm thankful for, and there's different aspects again to the series with pertaining to the robot, and there's just a lot to like about this new series. I have a lot of high hopes for it, especially after catching the tail end of the series. I think that it's going to be a solid contender that's going to be around for a number of years, especially the way that they ended the season. I'm very blown away by the series. It's probably, like, if this had been out for our GCRN awards, I think we would have had this as a pretty high contender this year. So I'm going to take a quick break. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation on Lost in Space. I'm going to come back on the other side with Reboot the Guardian Code. And we're back. So I'm going to talk about Reboot the Guardian Code. After seeing the first 10 episodes of this, the basically first season, even though I think it's still the same season even when it comes back. The United States got season one, or the first 10 episodes, on March 30th, which I blitzed through as soon as it was available. And the rest of it won't be available until June 30th when YTV gets the first 10 episodes. That's when Netflix will get the remaining 10 episodes. It was supposed to be 26 episodes upon initial release, and then they bumped it down to 20. The 10th episode, I think, definitely leads up to some things. There's a lot of thoughts and a lot of things that I have as far as this series is concerned. There's a lot of apprehension to the series. I think that it's well-warranted in some regards, and some it's a mountain out of a molehill. It's kind of a cross between the two different boats, and I think that had the production team and had the fans worked closer together, I think we could have had a solid series. I think there's a lot of venom on both sides of the fence that needed to be mended prior to the series. And it seems like they tried to incorporate part of the original series into it, and it kind of fails in a sense. I'm going to be trying to contact and interview some of the writers and producers and whatnot with the show as time goes on. I have a couple of contacts there, because I'd like to kind of delve into a little bit more information and have it straight from the horse's mouth rather than one side or the other. And I'm not going to be attacking or anything like that. I'm going to be fair about it. I loved the original series. This one has its ups and downs. I have particular issue with the writing of the live action segments, which I find to be very weak in certain regards. I think that the sorcerer is probably by far the weakest character we've got. The teenager aspect, the almost Power Ranger VR trooper, superhuman samurai cyber squad, Code Lyoko or whatever parody that everybody else has been comparing this to. I think that that's very much in tune with what the fans thought, and I get it. They're trying to market this to today's teens and preteens, and we're, you know, 20 years out of the marker there. But I think that at the same time, things should be kind of resonating with the original fans as well, especially when your PR department hasn't done their job. And I say this to be very polite and nice about it, but it's when you're trying to contact the company and get any kind of information, even a response, it's and you're waiting for weeks, even though they're not doing anything, or at least it appears they're not doing anything. And then all the marketing gets bumped in the last 10 days of before it releases. And even then, it's mere weak promotion. They're using Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter on the Guardian Code. Rainmaker hasn't touched their social media in over a year. And then they come back around the time of the show launch and try and use it, which has barely anybody following it. And the Guardian Code, which should have been starting its ramp up a year ago, even as early as August of last year, they still only have about 100 followers on Twitter. And that's it. And that's the same thing with their everything else. And it seems like all of their writers and their cast and producers are the only people following their accounts, unless they're people like me that are trying to get any kind of information. Which, when you dig through their website and you find more information on there than what they're even giving out, just by a search through their WordPress site, because it's not that hard to find it when you're using WordPress, especially when it's not programmed correctly in the back end and you can find out what everything is. I'm not saying I did this personally, I just know people that have found through it, and I've also looked at some of the imagery and information that were back there. And so I was going through this, I watched the series, I watched it from a critical eye without trying to divulge and destroy the series. First episode, it had a very Power Rangers vibe to it, where you have the dark code going against the web. And you have Vera, who's basically Alpha 5, who ends up Alpha 5 in the flesh, through a 3D printer of organic material from the web, and somehow still has connection to the internet. But anyways, she comes out and basically calls the four teenagers to Room Zero to become reboot Rangers, reboot Guardians, for the Guardian Code. And how this room has holographic wall and nobody knows that it's here is kind of mind-boggling in and of itself. You get the sorcerer who's glimpses. He's got a weird twitch in the series. And he's also kind of not all there in the head. He's wanting to destroy the internet. He's wanting to kind of bring society crashing down to the old days before it was all high-tech. He somehow knows about mainframe, which is another thing that's a little bit weird. He knows about the first mainframe computer, which it doesn't lend to know whether, and this would be something I would be curious to ask, is if there were, because they said the mainframe computer is an ancient, you know, thing, and that's where they find Bob, Hexadecimal, Enzos, Dot, Megabyte. So I'm wondering if there's multiple mainframes. And the one from season 4 is just one mainframe that's been heavily modified. And the one from this show is basically a season one version that got shut down early. So I'm wondering if that's the case, or if because it went in low power standby mode, that's why everything reverted to season one. And so we lost all of these characters that had otherwise been there for a couple seasons. I loved how they introduced Megabyte. They brought him back. He was in an alleyway, deactivated. They reanimated him, brought him back. His CGI model was perfection to his season one Megabyte model, which I enjoyed. And the gripe with, and this is jumping to episode 10, but with Bob, Dot, and Enzo, is that their designs were a little off, like wonky in the face and in some of the design, yet the Megabyte model we saw for 15 seconds looked better by comparison. And Hexadecimal looks awesome too, so I'm wondering if maybe those are like early imports of the mainframe people, and maybe they're going to return in the second half of the series. Which I would be interested to ask the actors, or not the actors, but the writers, some of that information. If that's a case there, because I'm not trying to destroy it or attack it. I'm just curious. Because they really weren't modeled all that great. I liked the voice, but a lot of the writing for those characters were not very well done either. Very weak, trying to play on the original reboot too much in that essence. Especially Bob's introduction, where he calls on the intro speech that he did. It just sounded off. And when he was speaking normal, he was more fine than at those nostalgia moments. The other thing I really liked was Megabyte seemed to be very true to form, as did Hexadecimal when they showed up. And when I say that, I mean like, one, I loved that they brought back the voice cast of the original series for those that they could that were still among us. I will say that the actor that replaced Tony J as Megabyte has done a pretty well job. There's certain aspects where I find him lacking, but overall, I think Tim Brumman did a pretty well impersonation of Tony J, to where there were certain scenarios, depending on his tone, that he could play the original Tony J voice, especially in scenarios where he's doing a deep, low speaking voice, where he goes Hexadecimal, and so things like that. It was a very nice touch there. I liked how Megabyte was very sarcastic with the sorcerer, especially when you get to episode 9. He's like, "What is it today? Perhaps a cyber patch removal, or taking over a satellite, or you know." And he just starts naming random things that didn't work that the sorcerer just had to have control of. Or have Megabyte do, and Megabyte's just kind of like, yeah, just keep your shorts on, and Sorcerer's just getting whiny about it. So I thought that was kind of funny. I do see the parallels between the Sorcerer and Megabyte, though, with Megabyte getting the upgrade and the delete key option, where Unicron did the same thing to Megatron to create Galvatron, where he, you know, Megatron's like, "I don't listen to anybody," and Unicron's like, "Well, have it your way," and starts to obliterate him, and then he's like, "I'll accept your terms," and then, you know, just has to listen, basically. And so that's kind of the boat that I see Megabyte in. I would love if Megabyte, next half the season, figured out a way to get off of the Sorcerer's delete key option, even if that meant going back to his original form, which I think would be spectacular. If nothing else, like I what I miss most about the original Megabyte, it was the virus symbol on his chest and the face. The head and face of the original Megabyte, I think, made the entire character. The body, I had no issue with that being renovated. The scepter, I thought was kind of an interesting twist of what they did with that. I love his new throne room and the fact that he took it from basically Minecraft. I love his new troops. I love how he infects and creates his new troops. I would be a little interested to know what happened to all of the binomes from the reboot world. Like Mike TV and, you know, Hair Doctor and Hack and Slash and characters like that. I really hope that they do a lot more close-knit between the original series, bridging it, and the current season. Because I think there's a lot of potential there. And I loved how they went into the game and the new Guardians couldn't reboot. There was a lot of aspects with the new Guardians that I really liked. I liked their gear. I liked a lot of their actions. I liked a lot of the new portrayals that they kind of added to the series. I liked the fact that they weren't able to reboot, so they had to figure out another way of playing the game because Bob is the only one that could do that because he's a true Guardian. I have some theories as far as when they turn on the reboot land. I think that the sorcerer must be Austin's dad. And I think that because he kind of has this weird digital twitch. Like, he's been in a system but doesn't realize it. He's very singular focused on tearing down the net, but there's no reason why. And he's totally oblivious to the fact that you can send things through, translate it to tech, until he sees the blood on Megabyte's hand. And I like the little silver orbs that they find that Austin's dad or something in the net keeps leaving behind, basically showing that they digitized Austin's rat and put it in the web. And I think that the sorcerer started around the time that Austin's dad disappeared, and which kind of leads me to believe that part of Austin's dad is still in the web. And part of him is physically the sorcerer, which would explain the insane ability of being able to hack and do what he's doing, as well as the fact that he knew about Megabyte. He created Megabyte. He knew how... recreated Megabyte. He added the delete key because he knows how basically tyrannical he is and would betray him first chance he got. So again, I think that that's going to play out to some degree on the series. I think that we're going to see what happens to Austin's dad. I think that the Mark guy or the guy that's at Austin's house with his mother, I believe that he is a part of the Department of Internet Security, DIS, which happens to have two people from the show Continuum, which, funny enough, one of the writers, Todd Ireland, is also from Continuum, which I really loved that series when that was out. It was a fun, great series, sci-fi-wise. But I have high hopes for it. Going forward, because I heard that there was a lot of issues with the first 10 episodes between lighting, rigging, animation, the fact that some of the things were kind of rushed, some of the things were kind of done at the behest of the CEO of the company, just because they wanted to push this Unreal Engine, which, don't get me wrong, I love the new CGI, I love the new graphics that they've applied to the series. I just wish that they would have taken a little bit better care with Mainframe. Some of it was accurate, some of it was correct. I just wish that the characters were more visually correct, because that seems to be a point of contention with the fans and their personalities. Another thing that seems to be a point of contention is the fact that they had this basement dweller sounding guy who come to the realization that Mainframe's still online. He has a bunch of reboot memorabilia. There's a joke about, oh, you know, and my mom said I'd never amount to anything, you know, playing in the basement for 20 years or something like that. And he pulls out an old Escape from Alcatraz looking game that would be something they would have played on the original reboot. Very, very basic in a sense. And I like what they did with it. I think that it was a nod, and it could have been inferred as partial knock on the fans, just for the fact that he was a huge fanboy of the original reboot and mainframe, and I'm kind of curious to know what that whole deal is. But again, it was still fun. The loser or the user lost. I mean, I think he won twice in the original series, even though they kind of inferred he didn't win at all. But either way, like, nitpicks and all, I think overall, I don't think it deserves a one star or anything. I think that it should at least get five, even if, like, because, like, for me, I found a lot of, and I know I'm not the target demographic, the live-action bits I found to be very jarring and kind of annoying. It wasn't as entertaining as I'd hoped. The digital world, I loved 90% of it. So, like, if I was going to edit it and have the series without the live-action bits and only keep what's necessary of the Sorcerer and Vera, I think that it would cut the series in half, but you would still have all of the solid animation points. Even the revival of Reboot, the mainframe being turned back on in Room Zero. So I think that we're getting to that point where the series could be good. And every series gets a reboot. Everyone does. Transformers, Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, like, everything gets a reboot. I think that some of it, like, those don't even consult the fans. They don't even try. Like, they just kind of do what they're going to do. And the new Ninja Turtles even is jarring to look at. They're totally changed everything. So it's, some people are extremely mad about that series. I've just kind of come to the realization I'm not their demographic. I still have my original show. It's not going anywhere. I wish that if they're going to do continuations, they don't make the old show look like garbage. Or sound like garbage or be written that way. But again, I'm not on the production staff. If I were, I would love nothing more than to lend my knowledge and my fanfare to whatever series it is that I'm a huge fan to help better the series. But in the end, it's still their production overall. But I enjoyed the series for what it was. I'm looking forward to the second half of the series because Hexadecimal is going to play a bigger part with Megabyte now. They've introduced Bob and some of those other people. I hope that they return in the second half because the titles are very vague for that season or that half of the show. But I would say give it a shot. There are certain episodes that you'll want to pay attention to, like the second episode specifically. And the 10th episode specifically, and there's a couple sprinkled throughout. I think the third episode's pretty good too. I think because Megabyte gets his castle fortress around then, which I still love. I think that's very Megabyte of him. But I think that they've captured the essence of Megabyte really well, which is kind of hard to do. I wish that some of the original production staff or creators of the show would get some input in future seasons. I hope that if this did do well enough, I hope that they would revisit more of the original reboot in the new series and kind of have a nice meshing between the two. I think that could lend for a very strong contender there. And I wish that the PR had been better between the fans and Rainmaker, Mainframe Entertainment, or Studios, or whatever they're calling themselves this week. Not that I'm hating on the company. I like the company. It's just I haven't been blown away by any of their recent marketing attempts because they've been very closed-mouthed. They've not divulged anything to press whatsoever, which leads me to believe that common thought of the way the video game industry works, where you hear nothing or you're not allowed to talk about it, or they don't give you anything on it, then that shows that they just don't have the confidence that it's going to go the distance, and that's why they're just not putting all their effort into it. And I kind of am that same belief that I know enough people in the gaming industry that that's generally what happens, and that's what they think, and that is true. And so if that happens with television, it doesn't lead that. It's like the difference between the first half of the show and this half. I was able to watch Lost in Space on Netflix, and the series was awesome. Now, mind you, both series are available on Netflix. But I really loved Lost in Space. But I think this show could have been better had they promoted it properly, had they not created this dissension with the fans. Yes, I realize some people are going to attack it no matter what. But I think that if they'd kind of jumped in front of the PR wagon early and stopped giving canned answers and deleting posts and hiding comments and had just given information progressively up to the point of release, I think that they would have saved themselves a lot of heartache. So I'm going to come back on the other side with a quick thought and move on. So I hope you guys enjoyed this Tuesday edition of Altered Geek. I hope you enjoyed the reviews or the thoughts on Lost in Space Season 1 and on Reboot the Guardian Code. I hope that you'll tune into the Friday edition of the show and see what's coming up next. I have a couple of different series things, a couple of new things to talk about, whether it comes to film and television. And some animation. But I think that that's about it for the most part. We did get some feedback on the social medias, which I'm going to pull up. And it's been fun to kind of go in this new direction with the podcast, kind of just talking about whatever just happens to pop up. The hashtag What's Geeky to You can always be reached, or you can comment on @AlteredGeek on the Facebook and the Twitter. So going back to some feedback, we have a new home for Toys R Us kids in KB Toys and found feedback. Brad says, since we talked about the past shows that could come back or whatnot. He says, past shows to have a go now. There's been talk for years of a Sliders reboot. It could be done well. Which, I wasn't really a fan or watcher of the original series, so I'm not entirely sure. But I could definitely see with today's sci-fi working well, how it could work in today's world. So, also, in the new home for Toys R Us kids, Desiree says, beloved store that's now dead, Zellers, all the way. I had the older stuffed Zeddy and then a toy box with a newer design. We stopped to eat at the restaurant after doctor's appointments so many times as an adult. There was a smaller one at a local small mall where I would often go, a total Canadian institution, eh? Yeah, I've heard of Zellers mostly through Dodd, and it kind of reminds me or sounds like our Targets for around here kind of thing, so... but yeah, a lot of stuff on the horizon. Some freshly renewed show information. Roseanne renewed for season 11, or revival season 2. I watched the first two episodes of that. It's actually pretty good. I was not a huge fan of the original, but I found myself laughing and entertained by the new one. Because it kind of plays by today's standards. So another revival show that's pretty good. Supergirl renewed for season 4. I think Black Lightning was already renewed for second season. We also have, I know Riverdale's renewed for another season. I believe some of the other shows could be getting a renewal, but I'm not entirely sure on that yet. There's possibilities Big Bang Theory may be canceled with season 12. The series showrunner hints at the end, says there's certainly stories they want to tell. They haven't told. Who knows what will happen after season 12. So season 12 might be a nice chance to tell them because they're finishing season 11. It says we're getting pretty close to being done, at least writing season 11. We have another month and a half of shooting. And we have some general thoughts of 12. Then we'll get a break after 11 to recharge and come in with more. So it's not been renewed, but there's a possibility. There's also the Last Man Standing revived, possibly revived, WGN America acquires canceled ABC sitcom. WGN America has picked up the existing episodes of Tim Allen's Last Man Standing to add it to its comedy lineup. Network will begin airing reruns of the series April 30th. They're happy to welcome Tim Allen and his show. It says their viewers love a good laugh and are confident Last Man will contribute to the momentum that has made WGN America one of cable's fastest growing networks. I would love for that show to come back, honestly. I didn't love Home Improvement enough to have it come back. This show, I did. I was kind of sad it went down in flames. But CMT originally was going to revive it, but or explore the possibility to order multiple season 20 episode runs. But I would love for WGN America to get it, although I don't know how I would get to watch it. but, you know, never know. It's kind of cool. I know Krypton is floating about there. I believe it got renewed for season 2 by Sci-Fi. It'll come out in 2019. I'm not going to be following that show. I'm not picking up any more superhero shows. In fact, when the ones that I watch get canceled, I'm done. I'm not watching any more of those. So, anyways, I think that about rounds this episode out. I think it's going to be pretty long as it is. So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.